Remember, keep this in mind. God stands over His word to prove His word. All right? His word does not return to Him void, but accomplishes that for which He sent it. Amen? So Leviticus 26, page 167, verse 27. And after all this, if you do not obey me, but walk contrary to me, then I also will walk contrary to you in fury. And I, even I, will chastise you seven times for your sins. Now the word fury there, we find that word in Isaiah 51, speaking of the children of Israel, when God said, you have drank from my cup of fury, and you've drank it all. Speaking of God's judgment upon the nation of Israel, right? What did Jesus pray in the Garden of Gethsemane? Let this cup pass from me. What cup was he referring to? The cup of God's fury, the cup of God's judgment. Because the judgment of the sin of the world was about to be placed on Jesus at Calvary. Amen? Amen? So God promises here in Leviticus 26 that he also will walk contrary to the children of Israel. Not only is he going to walk contrary to them, he's going to walk contrary to them in judgment or in fury. Somebody say, amen or oh me. How many know it's better to walk with God than to walk away from God? Amen. All right. And second part of verse 28. And I, even I, will chastise you seven times for your sins. You shall eat the flesh of your sons. You shall eat the flesh of your daughters. I will destroy your high places, cut down your incense altars, and cast your carcasses on the lifeless forms of your idols. And my soul shall abhor you. Now, let me go back to God saying you're going to eat your children there. It's famine. They're starving. We know in 70 AD, according to Josephus, that they were cannibalizing their own children because they were starving inside the walls of Jerusalem. Let's keep going. I will lay your cities waste and bring your sanctuaries to desolation, and I will not smell the fragrance of your sweet aromas. I will bring the land to desolation, and your enemies who dwell in it shall be astonished at it. I will scatter you among the nations and draw out a sword after you. Your land shall be desolate and your cities waste. Then the land shall enjoy its Sabbath as long as it lies desolate, and you are in your enemy's land. God promised, if they were disobedient, that he would destroy the land of Israel. How many know he kept that promise? Amen. He sure did. Go with me if you would. Let's jump over to page 1152. 1152, if you got a Bible like mine. If you don't, you need to look for Hosea chapter 9. Hosea chapter 9. Hosea chapter 9. Hallelujah. Praise you, mighty God. Chapter 9, verse 17. Just going to read verse 17. Chapter 9, verse 17. He says, my God will cast them away because they did not obey him, and they shall be wanderers among the nations. How many know God did that? He destroyed Israel in 70 AD, and he dispersed the children of Israel out into other nations, and they wandered in other nations. God said they would, and God did it. All right? Now let's go to Luke 21 real quick. Luke 21. We got to get some commentary, Jewish commentary in here. Luke 21. Stay with me. I'm going to make my point here just shortly. Luke 21, verse 20. But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that its desolation is near. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let those who are in the midst of her depart. And let not those who are in the country enter her. Jackie, you remember when we were at Masada? Oh, yeah. That's the mountains that they fled to. Yeah. Okay? And we've seen how the Romans built that siege ramp up. That was amazing. And we got to walk down it. That was a little unnerving because it was really high. But, you know, we got to walk down it without the benefit of a safety harness. You know? So you had to have your hiking shoes on, didn't you? Jackie did not have any, what do you call those heels, stilettos? You did not have those on when we came down that one. Amen. She still looked nice like she always does, okay. For these are the days, verse 22, for these are the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe to those who are pregnant, to those who are nursing babies in those days, for there will be great distress in the land and wrath upon the people. And they will fall by the edge of the sword. Now watch this. And be led away captive into all nations. We've seen that. And Jerusalem will be trampled by Gentiles until the times of Gentiles are fulfilled. So we know that in 70 AD, the Gentiles, the Romans, trampled Jerusalem. And it remained that way. It remained that way until the Six-Day War of starting June 6, 1967. Until the Israelis, they beat the Egyptians, they beat the Syrians, and they beat the Jordanians. They had three separate wars going on with three different nations. But they had a preemptive strike on the Egyptian air force and army, totally wiped them out. The Egyptians lied to the Jordanians and the Syrians and said, hey, we're kicking Israel's hind end down here. And guess what? So they jumped in the mixed, and Israel won back the Golan Heights, and they took back the old city of Jerusalem. And you see some of the pictures where they planted the Israeli flag on the Temple Mount in 1967. Amen. So as far as Jerusalem is concerned, the time of the Gentiles now was over. God said it. It happened. Now, with that said, I want you to go to Jeremiah 30. Jeremiah 30. I'm going to read this to you, and maybe some of you have never heard it this way. Maybe some of you have. But my point is, I'm trying to show the faithfulness of God all through history. And this goes along with the teaching I've been teaching, America's exclusiveness. America is important to God. America has been important to God, and America is important to the world. As America goes, so goes the world. Amen. Amen. So here in Jeremiah 30, verse 1, page 1000, if you got a Bible like mine. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, thus speaks the Lord God of Israel, saying, write in a book for yourself all the words that I have spoken to you. For behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will bring back from captivity my people Israel and Judah, says the Lord, and I will cause them to return to the land that I gave to their fathers, and they shall possess it. Now the word possess in Hebrew is the word yereshah. And yereshah means to inherit or to drive something out. Amen? So the children of Israel were going to, when they possessed their inheritance, they were going to have to drive someone out. Now we know when they first went to the Holy Land, to the Promised Land, they had to drive out the Canaanites, the Hittites, the all kind of sites. Okay, the Jebusites, they had to drive them all out. Amen. They had to fight for it. Amen. Sometimes to possess something, you've got to fight for it. Amen. Amen. It doesn't come easy all the time. How many know the promises of God are like that sometimes? You got to stay in the fight, not give up. Trust God's faithfulness. Verse 4. Now these are the words that the Lord spoke concerning Israel and Judah. For thus says the Lord, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. Ask now and see whether a man is ever in labor with child. So why do I see every man with his hands on his loins, like a woman in labor, and all faces turn pale? Alas, for the day is great, so that none is like it. and it is the time of Jacob's trouble. Now watch, but he shall be saved out of it. And I'm going to tie America here to that phrase, he shall be saved out of it, here in just a moment. Let's keep reading. For it shall come to pass in that day, says the Lord of hosts, that I will break his yoke from your neck and will burst your bonds, and foreigners shall no more enslave them, but they shall serve the Lord their God and David their king, whom I will raise up for them. Now the prophet, before I move on, the prophet Hosea tells us that a time would come that Israel, the Jewish people, would come back to Israel and they would seek their God and David their king. They would seek Yahweh and seek his Messiah. Amen? Jesus. Right? Well, you see David the king in that prophecy? It's talking about one from the tree of David. Remember the promise God made to David in 2 Samuel? That one of your family tree would always sit on the throne of Jerusalem. Amen? Well, there is no throne in Jerusalem now. Jerusalem was destroyed in 70 AD. There is no throne, but guess what? When it comes time to set up a throne, one from the tree of David will be on that throne, and his name is Jesus. Amen? God will be faithful to that promise. Now, let's go back. Let's go back to verse 5. We had heard, for thus says the Lord, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. Ask now and see whether a man is ever in labor with child. So why do I see every man with his hands on his loins, like a woman in labor, and all faces turn pale? Alas, that day is great, so that none is like it. And it is the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. Now, I don't know if you've seen very many Holocaust pictures, but there are a ton of pictures of men who have been stripped of clothing. They're mere skeletons that are still walking, and they're pale, and they have their hands over their loins to protect some type of privacy and dignity. There's tons of those pictures. Now, we can argue this, but I sure believe that Jeremiah saw the Holocaust. Okay, now stay with me. I'm talking about America. I'm talking about America's greatness. I'm talking about God's destiny for America. Amen? Now, God promised that out of this difficulty called Jacob's trouble, he would save them out of it. Okay? So watch with me if you would. Let me give you a quick history lesson. You know, America's fought several wars. We fought the French and Indian War. We had to possess this land. Then we fought the Revolutionary War. We had to possess that freedom that the Bible talks about. Amen? We had to get it. And then during the Civil War, the devil tried to divide and conquer. Amen? But God managed to hold it together. God raised up a man named Abraham Lincoln. Amen? Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. We had to possess it. Then in World War I, I don't think anybody in here was around in World War I. But in World War I, the U.S. declared war on Germany in April of 1917. Then America drafted a million-man army. And then in the winter of 1917-1918, they sent that army to France. Now, you know, when you read British and French historians, they'll tell you that, you know, the British and the French had the Germans on the ropes. The Americans just came in and mopped up. That's not true. The Germans had the French and the Britons on the ropes and had them backed up. And one of the commanders for Great Britain said, "Our backs are to the wall." Well, and the leader of England, I'm trying to think of his name, he said, "What wall?" Because, you know, there was just the English Channel there, you know, separating France from England. What wall? There was no wall between the Germans. There was only some water between the Germans and England. But America got in the war They managed to cut off the supply lines of the Germans, and they trapped a German army in Belgium and France. And America won that war.
Amen.
Amen. Now, we don't want to say that the French and the British didn't have something to do with it, okay? But we would say here in America, we sure bailed their fat out of the fire.
Amen.
Amen. Now, a million-man army, they got that thing ready in, what, 9 months? Something like that? They send them over there to Europe? Wow. Now, let's go to April 11th, 1945. Stirring WW2, World War II. Now, we had some help here, okay? But America did not want to get into the war. It was World War II started with a war in 1937 between Japan and China. America had the idea, not affecting us. Pretty long ways off from us, you know. Well, then the war began to spill out. And in 1939, under Hitler and the Nazi regime, Germany, France, and Great Britain were now at war. By July 1940, Italy had joined the war. By 1941, Russia had joined the war. And on December 7th, 1941, Japan made a bad mistake when they bombed Pearl Harbor, and America got in the war. But on April 11th, 1945, the Americans liberated the concentration camps of Buchenwald, Dora, Mittelbau, Flossburg, Dachau, Mauthausen. All those were concentration camps that held Jewish prisoners. See, God said, I'm going to save you out of this mess. And I want to tell you something. When God destroyed Israel, when God said, I'm going to make you desolate, few verses later, God promises to restore Israel. And America played a vital role in the restoration of the nation of Israel. Amen. We're not here by accident. We are here by divine destiny. Our freedom. One thing that our founding fathers agreed on was that the freedom that America enjoys is freedom that was granted by God.
Amen.
Amen. God is a God of freedom.
Yes, sir.
Praise His mighty name. Now, with that said, I got to take you, we got to end on a high note. 5 minutes. You can stand the heat in 5 minutes. Jump over to verse 18 of Jeremiah 30. So how did they get saved out of that time of Jacob's trouble? The United States of America, their army, the Soviet Union's army, they liberated a few death camps. So did the British. But America was the driving force to at D-Day to try to... I'm telling you, when I watch a video of D-Day, it makes me weep. Because we had boys killed. Those first guys that hit that beach... Man, I'm telling you, I can't tell you that I could do that. Of course, I guess when the army gets you, they train you well, you know. So let me keep going. So look at verse 18 now. They're saved out of that. God says, thus says the Lord, behold, I will bring back the captivity of Jacob's tents and have mercy on his dwelling places. The city shall be rebuilt upon its own mound, and the palace shall remain according to its own plan. Then out of them shall proceed thanksgiving, the voice of those who make merry. I will multiply them, they shall not diminish. I will also glorify them, and they shall not be small. Their children also shall be as before, and their congregation shall be established before me. And I will punish all who oppress them. Their nobles shall be from among them, and their governors shall come from their midst. Then I will cause them to draw near, and he shall approach me For who is this who pledged his heart to approach me, says the Lord? You shall be my people, and I will be your God. Amen. And we have seen it with our own eyes, the restoration of the nation of Israel. But when God promised that restoration of Israel, God had already seen the development of America and the destiny of America that was tied to the nation of Israel. Did you know the pilgrims came to America and they called it the New Promised Land? Amen. Amen. They saw America through the eyes of the nation of Israel. They used the commands of God in the Hebrew Bible. Now, this is our founding fathers. A lot of them disagreed on some of their theology. Jefferson was a deist, meaning he believed in an ultimate power, but he wasn't sure that God really got involved with men here on the earth. And some of them didn't think that Jesus was God in the flesh. But one thing they all agreed on, the Hebrew Bible would be the foundation for the Constitution of the United States of America. Amen. It would be that moral code that would sustain and enforce the freedom that America enjoys. Hallelujah. Now, with that said, I want to make one more point. 2 points. Okay? We're playing basketball. It's a two-pointer. Turn to page 1165 if you got a Bible like mine, or Joel chapter 2. I've wore this passage of Scripture out. You just have to forgive me. I go to it at least twice a week because it builds my faith in God's faithfulness. Amen? 25. Oh, let's go to 23. Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rain faithfully, and he will cause the rain to come down for you, the former rain and the latter rain. In the first month, the threshing floor shall be full of wheat, and the vat shall overflow with new wine. Remember, the former rain was the first rain that comes in November, December, softens the ground so they can plow the fields. And then the latter rain comes about a month or a few weeks before harvest, in order to get that crop up to its maximum production, ready for the harvest, amen? God said, I'm going to give you the former rain, the latter rain, verse 25, so I will restore to you the years the swarming locust has eaten, crawling locust, consuming locust, the chewing locust, my great army which I sent among you. You shall eat them, and we know Israel was destroyed by armies. You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God who has dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be put to shame. Wow. Why? Because he's restoring the years they lost. Amen. He says, you're never going to be put to shame. Over in Jeremiah, he said, you're never going to be slaves again. I'm going to bust that yoke, that Nazi yoke that was on you. And you're never going to be under that yoke again. Did you know that during the Battle of Alamein, when what was that general called in Nazi Germany? The Desert Fox, Rommel. Rommel's tanks, he was headed to Jerusalem, but he was defeated in North Africa. But he was headed to Jerusalem. They had plans to set up a death camp in Germany, or in Israel, in Jerusalem. But God's hand, God lifted up a standard against them, and they were defeated in the Battle of Alamein. I'm telling you, God is so cool. He keeps tabs on everything. Amen. You can't fool him.
No.
Just come clean. Amen. Fess up. Confess your sins and move forward with God. That's what Bernie's talking about this morning. You mess up, repent. Repent, apologize, make restitution. Move on with God, because God's on the move. Let me get back to this. I'm going to get to preaching and get all crazy and everything, all worked up, sweaty like that guy that Charles Davis watching on TV. He said this fat guy was preaching, jerked his shirt coat off and was sweating and panting. And that ain't me. Okay, verse 27. Then you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, just like that tabernacle. I am the Lord your God, and there is no other. My people shall never be put to shame. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions, and also on my servants, on my men servants, and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. I hold out hope. God promised an outpouring to the nation of Israel after he restored all these things. And I'm going to tell you something. Israel is pretty secular. Now, I don't know what the COVID's doing to them. Maybe that's turning some of them to God. That would be a good thing, you know. But Israel is very secular, especially Tel Aviv. You get to Jerusalem, you see a lot of religious folks. I don't know how many of them have a relationship with God, but they're pretty religious. You know the difference, right? We have religious folks here. And their hair's real high and their dresses are real long and they have no makeup and they're meaner than rattlesnakes. But they have no relationship with God. And according to my Bible, I believe God wants to pour out his spirit. And you know what? I've been saying this for a long time. And not just me. That sounds arrogant. A lot of people have been preaching this and saying this. We need a revival. We need an awakening. Amen? But let me tell you something. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, we've wore this scripture out. Verse 14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, then will I hear from heaven and I will heal their land. Amen. It takes prayer. So next week I will have a schedule of prayer, special prayer times and fasting times. Leading up to the next election, amen. And we need to pray for revival. Amen. It's not going to come. I'll tell you, I challenge you. Buy Leonard Ravenhill's book on praying for revival. You can get it for about $5.99 Kindle or from Amazon. It's a little more than that if you get a hardcover. But you won't be able to read that book without a box of Kleenex. Because, you know, about every chapter you want to crawl down on your knees and repent. He's pretty tough. Old Ravenhill's pretty tough, you know. But tough times require some people with some resolve, some grit, some courage. And our courage only comes from knowing a faithful God. It doesn't come from my power, my strength. I mean, Lord, I'm just a shadow of what once was Butch Deer Jr., you know? You didn't have to amen that one, Katrina, you know? I can't run fast and jump high, even if I had some Red Ball Jets. Anybody remember them Red Ball Jets, you know? Yeah. Yeah. Those were about $1.99. Mama buy us them, but them Converse Chucks, they was around $3.99, $4. We wasn't getting no Chucks. We had a Red Ball Jets. Then mom bought my jeans. They was a foot long. I guess she figured, you know, I could wear them, you know. But I had to roll them up and wear them high top Red Ball Jets. I looked like Opie Taylor. Any of you remember Opie? But even if I had some Red Ball Jets, these old knees aren't going to run fast and leap high. But I'll tell you what they can do. They can still kneel before a holy God and intercede and pray. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, you know, I just been so blessed this week looking back at history, looking at all the battles we fought. And I read this thing some guy wrote about America's always been a warmongering country. You know what? The Bible talks about possessing and having to fight for something that God give you. Amen. And how many of you know there's always going to be an enemy that's always going to resist you? If the enemy could have destroyed America in the early days with the French and Indians or with the British, or later on with a civil war, we would not have been around to help turn the tide of World War I and turn the tide of World War II.
Amen.
Amen. And possibly the restoration of Israel would have been postponed. I won't say it would have never happened, because God's going to make it happen one way or the other. Amen. But I'm thankful for America's freedom and our destiny. And God's still using us around the world. There's not a country in this world that has not experienced the benevolence of American people. Amen. I'm going to pray for you. Glory to God. Father, I love you today. I praise you today. We praise you. Father, you know every need that's represented here in this church. There are spiritual needs. There are financial needs. There are emotional needs, Lord God, and there are physical needs. You promised in your word that you would supply all of our needs according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And I pray, Lord God, that you would meet every need that's represented here today. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Father, I pray for our upcoming class starting July 28th at 6:30 here, Lord God. I pray your anointed presence would be upon it. Lead me as I study. Guide my heart, my mind. And Father, may it not be just information passed along, but Father, I pray for an impartation of your wisdom and your spirit. And Father, we'll never fail to give you the praise, the glory, and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. I don't know what the change added up to, but there was $314 in the jars of cash. There was two donors that gave us $500 each for Israel. So I don't know how much is in there, but we sent Brian, you know, he has his Jerusalem Seminary, the only Protestant seminary. He has it up online now. And I think it's a good work. We were able to send them $1,000. We sent Bridges for Peace $1,000. So it's amazing to me what God does with such a little church. I can't imagine why churches that take in millions of dollars never have any money to help minister to people. It amazes me. I don't know what's going on. They got nice, great, big, what they call that, what's that fancy term for building? Edifice, you know? And they got million-dollar mortgages, or multi-million-dollar mortgages. I was talking to Lori the other day. She's going to buy a car. She's trying to pay cash because she said, I don't want the man to own me anymore. I said, atta girl. Go, girl, go. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you all. I'll see you Wednesday at 7 if I don't see you before then. Whew. We may have to put some air conditioners back in up here. Yes, Chuck. Blitz. Blitz. A football term, BLITZ.